thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. You can trust Indeed as a hiring partner because they want the same thing you do, finding quality candidates. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Offer is valid through March 31st. Thanks also to Coda for supporting the podcast. Coda is a new kind of document that brings words, data, and teams together. It comes with a set of building blocks that anyone can combine to create a doc as powerful as an app. Join the productivity revolution and sign up with Coda today. Take advantage of a special limited time offer just for startups. To get a $1,000 credit on your first statement, sign up at coda.io/TPS.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast where we believe that you can get the important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. My name is Tan. I'm the founder of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And today I'm of course joined by my co-host Brooks Duncan. How are you today, Brooks?
I'm great. What's going on?
We're going to be experimenting a little bit today with the Productivity Show. We're always looking for ways to make it better, more interesting, and more entertaining. One of our core values is Kaizen, which means continuous improvements, and that applies to the podcast as well. And today's episode is going to be a slightly new format that we're going to be experimenting with. We know many of you like listening to podcasts to learn new things, which we've been doing for many years. We've been doing this since 2016, and we have had over 11 million downloads now. And we also know that many of you like to stay on top of what's happening in the world. So we thought it would be helpful to also share some industry news on the podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news around productivity apps, tools, books, and everything else in between. So aside from the news, we're going to be covering three important topics today. The first one is, are you a jerk if you send someone your Calendly link? This is something that came up very recently, and we want to discuss that here today. But also, do you still have to pay for a text expander type of app anymore? Is that still a thing? And what about TikTok? Is it actually worthwhile installing and learning new skills, or is it a huge distraction? These are three things we're going to be going over today. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/394. And next week's episode is about how to double the productivity of your team. So if you're someone who leads a team, whether you're a business owner, you're a manager, and you want to get the most out of your team, I think you're going to want to check out next week's episode. As always, we like to kick things off with our top three favorite resources. And Brooks, I know you have some stuff for us here today. Would you mind sharing those?
So the first one is a book. It's called The Practice of Groundedness, A Transformative Path to Success That Feeds, Not Crushes Your Soul. So it's an audiobook I'm just wrapping up, and I thought it was a really good book, kind of the opposite of TikTok, as we'll get into. But it's basically about being grounded and how that can translate into your performance. So it's not really a woo-woo book. It's actually by the author of Peak Performance, but I really, really enjoyed that book. So check it out, The Practice of Groundedness. That's number one. Number two, for a variety of reasons, a lot of people are interested lately in switching or moving between streaming platforms. And so a popular app for doing that is called Songshift. And so what that lets you do is move your library and your playlist between streaming platforms. So like Spotify to Apple Music to Tidal, Apple Music to another place, you know, all these different streaming platforms is allowing you to move between. Now, Songshift, unfortunately, is iOS only. However, Tune My Music is another popular cross-platform alternative. So if you're looking to switch streaming platforms, Songshift or Tune My Music is another one. And finally, Roku Streaming Stick. So this is something Tan actually gave the whole team as a little reward for something. And it's a great way to just plug into any TV, and it can have all of your different streaming platforms. It can do a bunch of different things. And the nice thing about it is you can take it with you. So when we go to an Airbnb, I take my Roku Streaming Stick with me. I was talking to a friend the other day. He just bought this beautiful new house, and he's outfitted all of his TVs with these Roku Streaming Sticks because he likes the Roku interface better. It actually has a remote control that works like a remote control, not the crazy fever dream one that comes with the Apple TV. So the Roku Streaming Stick is my third pick.
We'll have links to all of that in the show notes, so don't worry if you miss something here. And also, I'm glad you like the Roku Stick. that I gave to everyone on the team. It was part of our quarterly goal that we achieved, so I'm glad everyone is enjoying that. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to be going over some industry news and newsworthy updates of things that are happening in our space, and so we like to call this kind of like the roundup. So the first thing I want to share is one of our favorite calendar apps that we like is called Fantastical. It's something we've mentioned on a podcast many times. They recently released version 3.6, and it adds a new major feature called Openings that allows people to book a meeting with you on your calendar based on your predefined availability. So it's kind of like Calendly or Schedule Once, but built in the calendar. So you don't have to use like a third-party tool like that. It's actually built in the app. And it also adds this new feature called Proposals. So this is kind of like Doodle, where you have multiple people that can vote for the best time to have a team meeting with everyone. So if you ever struggled with having five people agree on a meeting time, this is like a way to do that. Everyone used to use Doodle for this, which is a third-party service. Now it's built in Fantastical 3.6. So if you're not using Fantastical already, I would recommend you go check it out. And if you're using it already, definitely consider upgrading because it's a free upgrade. So that's the first thing. The second update is Microsoft has updated Streams, and they call it now informally NewStream. It's like YouTube for your internal company or organization to allow people to collaborate and distribute information instead of having like random videos of like Vimeo or Wistia links floating around. So think of it as like an internal Wikipedia, but with video format, or kind of like a YouTube within your own organization. So it comes with Office 365. So if you haven't checked it out yet, but you want to introduce some sort of video collaboration and documentation system, this is actually already part of Office 365. So go ahead and check that out. And then the third one that I want to share is iOS 15.4 is coming up very shortly. And it will have Face ID to be able to recognize while you are wearing a face mask. I think this is something we've all wanted for a long time. So I'm glad this is coming to iOS finally. Want to hear your thoughts, Brooks?
I'll start with the iOS 15.4 thing first, because I think I'm a little of iOS users. I'm a little different situation in that when the pandemic started, I was still rolling with an old iPhone 8 Plus. So I was still living the Touch ID life. And so I actually upgraded during the pandemic, and most people who upgraded from Touch ID to Face ID before the pandemic like loved Face ID. You know, it's the best thing ever. I hated it personally because like I like my new phone, because a lot of times when I needed to unlock my phone, it was when I was, you know, at the store. I use my phone as my grocery list, or when I'm, you know, on transit or something, or when I'm just out and about. And going from having everything unlocking beautifully with my thumb to having to like sit there and punch in my passcode all the time, I basically stopped using Apple Pay for that reason. And so anything that Apple can do to make it so that Face ID works with a mask is great. Now, unfortunately, a lot of places, or not unfortunately, but it just so happens that a lot of places are starting to remove their mask mandates in some areas. So this is kind of like this would have been an awesome feature a year ago. But hey, anything Apple can do for that is awesome. So that's number one. Number two, about Streams. Well, this is really, really awesome in Microsoft 365. If you're already in that ecosystem, I think internal videos, like maybe we should do an episode on this topic somehow if we can figure out a way to work it, because I think internal videos are just such a huge win for organizations or any sort of team, because it just like lets you explain things in such a simple way that takes so much more work in any other way, especially if you have a distributed team. You can't just like call your coworker over to look over your shoulder. The problem is dealing with these internal videos has always been a pain. Like you said, you know, people like upload them to random services that aren't really controlled by the company, or maybe you have it on a Dropbox drive, but then that's not super ideal sometimes. So I think having a place in a system that you're already using, like Microsoft 365, is great. And another feature of it that is really, really killer is it automatically generates transcriptions for you. And so this, like, I would love this feature. You know, we use a random third-party service to do our internal videos. We're really, really big on internal videos because we're distributed all over the world. And then what we have to do when we usually it's me making these videos, is then turn them into SOPs. And so something that could just automatically generate a pretty decent transcription would be so huge for us. Maybe I'll try to talk you into moving to Microsoft 365.10. And then finally, Fantastical. You know, it's kind of a funny topic because we're about to talk about Calendly, but one thing we should mention is Fantastical is a Mac app. Outlook has a lot of these features, but you know, Fantastical is a Mac app. And I think if you're somebody who uses a calendar app on the Mac and you don't really want to pay for a third-party service like Calendly and that sort of thing, I think it's a great feature because, given the parameters of what we're about to talk about, because, you know, anytime you can like build everything into one app that you live in and eliminate third-party things, I think is great. So it's not something for me personally because we already use Calendly here at AE, and I think we're pretty happy with it. But I could see somebody who isn't already using it or maybe wants to simplify. I think it's a great feature.
All right, so let's move over to the next section here of this episode, and that is what we call industry happening. So we're going to be going over what's happening in our space. And one of the things that came up that you put in here, Brooks, was, and I like the title of this, "Are You a Jerk for Using Calendly?" So that's the first thing we're going to be going over. Can you kind of set the stage in context of why we're talking about this?
Yeah, well, it's funny, we almost have an internal rule on the podcast when we're talking about stuff like productivity tips to not recommend Calendly, but not because we don't like it, but because we almost recommend it too much. You know, we've long recommended using a tool like Calendly or Schedule Once. It lets you be in control of your calendar, makes it really simple. It avoids that like back and forth scheduling dance. If you're trying to book a meeting with somebody where you have to like email back and forth trying to find a time that works, you know, you can just have the a single link that has your calendar availability and they can pick what works for them. And it's just like, it sounds like a super win-win situation. But recently, a pretty well-known VC named Sam Lessin posted a long, you know, one of those image tweets. They do a tweet and it's like an image of a doc that they made when it's too much to fit in a tweet. And basically, it went viral. And the text of it is, "Calendly etiquette is the most raw / naked display of social capital dynamics in business." And we'll have a link to the tweet in the show notes, theproductivityshow.com/394. I won't read out the whole thing, but basically it starts with, "When somebody sends you a Calendly link and asks you to slot yourself on their calendar, they're telling you that you are less important than them and all of their current meetings are more important than whatever you need them for. It's a get in line move." And then it goes on and says, like, "Matching up the importance / urgency of what we have to talk about and both our schedules, etc., is a far more nuanced dance than you give me options and I pick like you're a dentist or something." And again, I won't read the whole thing, but the general idea is that if you send somebody a Calendly link, you're right away creating this power dynamic where your schedule is more important than theirs and they need to fit into their schedule. So I read this, I was kind of laughing. There was even a Washington, I think Washington Post article that was like on a similar theme. And it made me curious since I know, Tan, you recommend Calendly a lot. You know, what do we think? Are you a power mad jerk for using Calendly and sending somebody a link? Like, what's your thoughts on this, Tan?
When I first saw this, I thought, huh? I completely disagree because I see it very differently. However, after thinking about it some more, I can see where he comes from. And I think what's missing here is context. And what I mean with that is, if I just tell you, "Hey, Brooks, let's have lunch. Let's figure out a time. Here's my link. Go use this, Brooks." You know, if you kind of use it with that kind of attitude, then it's like, okay, my schedule is more important than yours. Like, figure out a way to get on my schedule kind of thing. However, if you add some context to it, especially when you are talking to someone that you're meeting for the first time, or like you're trying to schedule together something for the first time, then saying something along the lines of, "Hey, to help us both save time going back and forth and finding a time that works for both of us, I suggest we use my scheduler link here. And in case you can't find something that works for you, let me know and we can figure something else out." Like, if you add that kind of context and saying, "Hey, I'm sending this to you so we both save time and we save each other this back and forth," then I don't think it's like a jerk move to say, "Hey, here's my scheduler link." And so as long as you add some context to it, then it's fine. But if you do use the attitude and kind of phrase it that way of saying, "Hey, Especially if your emails are very brief or your texts are very brief, then I can see how that can be interpreted that way.
Yeah, it's funny. I had the same reaction to you because the way I've always thought of using Calendly, you know, we're talking about Calendly specifically, but there's other services that do this, schedule it once and stuff like that. I've always thought of it the opposite. Like, I've always thought of it like when you send somebody a Calendly link, basically what you're saying, at least from the way I always thought of it, is you're respecting their time enough to not put them through that big back and forth dance I was talking about trying to come up with a time. And yeah, I do something similar. Like the way I get around that kind of like power dynamic aspect is I usually will say like, hey, if none of the, I will like say, if it makes it easier, here's my Calendly link. But I always, always, always 100% of the time say, if none of these times work, let me know some alternatives and we'll see if we can figure things out. Actually, Calendly must obviously be aware of this criticism because they have an article about Calendly etiquette on their blog. So we'll link to that as well. And they give some funny examples like sending your mom your Calendly link and stuff like that. But I think one of their big takeaways is the way they phrase it, which I thought is pretty good, is open the door for others first. So instead of saying, hey, here's my Calendly link, you could do it one of two ways. You could say, do you have any times that are preferable for you? Or if it's easier, here's my Calendly link. So you're kind of like opening the door first. Another thing that some people do, which I thought is pretty good, is ask the other person, hey, do you have a Calendly link or something like that that we could use? So you're kind of like asking for their Calendly link in a way. And you can say, or if it's easier, you know, here's mine. One thing I will say though, and I do think this is like a really big Calendly faux pas, is if you're going to send somebody your Calendly link, make sure there's actually available times on there. Because giving somebody a link when you have like no availability for 2 months out or something like that, you know, that's pretty rough. Like that is, to me, that is like pretty much a sign of disrespect. You're saying like, hey, this thing we're talking about, it is not important enough for me to even think about for the next 2 months. Like that is pretty rough. But assuming you have availability, doing some of these tricks like opening the door for others first and stuff like that, I think it is a way to use it properly.
A little bit more advanced is the fact that I use an executive assistant. So my executive assistant, she can oftentimes do this on my behalf. And so that kind of adds an extra layer of, I wouldn't say a barrier to like directly meeting with me. However, oftentimes people get the impression that if you're working with an executive assistant about, you know, coordinating a time, then I think it gives off the impression that it's okay to use something like that, but also that we might be both be very busy and this is maybe the most effective way of doing it. However, if it doesn't work, my executive assistant will be there to help out and figure out, you know, a new time and schedule that can work for both of us. This is especially helpful if you communicate with someone remotely over email or something you've never met, right? However, if it's in person, sending stuff like the Calendly link right away is usually not an issue. But I agree with you. If there's no availability, that's, I think, kind of rude as well, especially if it's really far out. And so one thing I usually like to do, especially if I send an email, is I'll actually check my own Calendly link. So I'll click on it and see like, okay, is this actually realistic or not, right? If there's nothing available, then I might go, like maybe I need to change some settings around before I send this over. And so I think you bring up a good point there, which is make sure to check your own availability before you send it, because if nothing is available for the next few months, that's kind of rude, I think, too. So I agree with that. So that's the first thing here. The next thing we have on the list here is, do you need to even pay for a text expander type of app anymore? So for those of you who don't know, text expander is a really popular app, something we've recommended many times. And it's basically a tool that allows you to type faster and have keyboard shortcuts so you can type very quickly and have snippets and templates that you can use over and over. So for example, if you send an email and every time you send an email, you pretty much use the same sort of body, but you change the name or date or whatever. Instead of, you know, typing it manually or copy and pasting it from a text file, you can have something like an app where you use a keystrokes and then it will basically expand it for you and automatically type it for you. So we love it because it's a great way to save time, to type faster and get stuff done more efficiently. However, there's kind of this, debate about whether you should pay for this or not, because there are a lot of free alternatives as well, even though we continue to recommend Text Expander. So what's your take on this, Brooks?
It's funny that we're even talking about this, because if I think back to how AE first came on my radar way back in whatever, 2011 or whenever it was probably like these series of Text Expander videos that now we had on the blog. Text Expander is like, I know, my online productivity life and AE's online productivity life are like so almost so entwined with Text Expander. It's kind of funny of talking about not using it, but I think for me, like I do still subscribe to Text Expander. I use it like all day, every day. And if you are interested, you know, we have a 20% off discount in the show notes that we'll throw in. But I would say, and I do, you know, some pretty like high level techie stuff with it, with like fill in fields and scripts and all that sort of stuff. However, I think if I was recommending that if somebody was starting today, I think I would recommend they just use the default features that are built into macOS and iOS. And I don't think those text expansion features built into Windows. However, Microsoft Office has those type of features. Outlook has those type of features. So it's more like app specific. Yeah, you can't do some of the super techie stuff. A lot of people don't really need that. All they need to do is like expand parts of canned emails or expand their phone number and email address. Like the most common thing I probably expand is my email address, frankly. I also don't mind. A lot of people got upset when Text Expander switched to subscription, which I totally get. I didn't mind it so much because I tended to buy the new version every year anyway. So for me, in my mind, the price difference wasn't that different. So I didn't mind it. If you hate subscriptions, but you want a more full-featured tool, there are options like Atext, Typinator, Phrase Express. Like there are non-subscription alternatives that will get you there. I think new people starting out, sometimes we jump too fast into tools versus thinking about what we would do with the tools. So I would start with some of the built-in features of the things that you already use. And then if you want to do more advanced stuff, then start looking into some of the other solutions. What do you think?
Well, part of what inspired this conversation is Text Expander actually recently released a new blog post where they shared some of the stats of people who use their product. And if you use Text Expander, you can actually go check out your stats in the settings or preferences, and it will show you how much time you saved last year or last month or overall. And they send out an email summary to every paying subscriber as well, where you have a whole summary of 2021, and they kind of summarize it in their blog post. And so I kind of looked it up for myself, and when I look at the tweets that people shared in the blog post, where how much time they saved. Like I saved about 7 hours last year, and I think I'm a medium power user, but some people save like 20 days in a year. And I go, oh my gosh, like what are you doing to save so much time? Are we writing novels or something and duplicating them somehow? Like this is just insane. So the fact that I saved about 7 hours, I think is a lot already. However, there are a lot of people who save even more, like 4 or 5 days a year, you know, with the average of, you know, 80 words per minute of typing. So that's a lot of time. And I would say if you are new to the idea of like using something like a text expanding app, I think the built-in features are probably the way to go. Every time I showcase to people that you can use this on the iPhone with, you know, simple shortcuts that you can kind of like built in there, people are amazed that that's even possible. So most people actually don't even know that there's such a thing, right? And so to go from zero to Text Expander, I think can be kind of a challenge. However, if it's already built in the phone or the operating system, I think that's an easy way to get some quick wins. So like having your name, your email address, you know, your address, your phone number, like having that commonly typed out, but using keystrokes to simplify and speed that up makes such a big difference. And for anyone that uses templates on a regular basis, like if you find yourself oftentimes copy and pasting from one document to an email or to an invoice or something, and then changing a few details every single time, that is prime time to use something like the Text Expander app to make it even more efficient. But most people probably don't even need it. So I would say go with the free stuff first. And if you find that you run into limitations, then go for something like Text Expander.
Hiring can be one of the most frustrating and time-consuming parts of building a great team. I'm sure we all have the war stories, but it doesn't have to be. When you partner with Indeed, building the right team is seriously simple. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites, hopping around, hoping to find the candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every single step of the hiring process. You can find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. For example, with Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a shortlist of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. In my experience, one of the most time-consuming parts of hiring can be interviewing. The usual way involves like reaching out, connecting, emailing back and forth, maybe some calls, using a bunch of different tools, and finding the time to meet. It's all like really just a frustrating process. Well, with virtual interviews, Indeed saves you time. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent seamlessly, all in one place. So start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Offer is valid through March 31st. So go to Indeed.com/TPS to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. That's Indeed.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. I'm super excited to have Coda join us as a sponsor. I'll get into why in a moment. But if you don't know, Coda is a new kind of document that brings words, data, and teams together. It comes with a set of building blocks that anyone can combine to create a doc as powerful as an app. If you're a startup, you definitely know that it's so hard to get everyone on the same page and work together efficiently. Well, Coda can help with that. It'll help your team collaborate more efficiently by being a central hub for all your valuable data, plans, objectives, and strategies. Your text and your tables can live together in the same docs, no jumping back and forth from tab to tab like with other systems. And it's so easy to get started. There's plenty of template options for everything from meeting notes to a product roadmap to remote onboarding and way, way more. You can get a head start because playbooks published by some of the top innovators are even available to use for yourself. For example, if you wanted to map out your OKRs the same way that, say, Pinterest does, Coda has it. Just copy and start using. There's a ton of customization you can do, more on that in a moment, so you can set it up to suit your needs. Onboarding new hires from anywhere, create a wiki or a knowledge hub for your team, almost anything can be done within Coda. Coda allows you to quickly adapt to any changes in your business. I think Coda is a great sponsor for the show because there are members of our Productivity Academy community who are huge Coda fans, and I'm always amazed by the tools that they build, from like a task manager, a GTD system, a habit tracker. The customization and flexibility that they show is just amazing. You can do so much with this tool. It's just a perfect sponsor for us. So join the productivity revolution and sign up with Coda today. Take advantage of this special limited time offer just for startups. To get $1,000 credit on your first statement, sign up at coda.io/TPS. That's $1,000 credit on your first statement by signing up at coda.io/TPS. Yeah, we record these episodes live with our TPS Plus members and our Productivity Academy members. Kimberly says that she tried the free alternatives, but they were kind of like limiting and difficult to use compared to Text Expander. Text Expander has so many ready-to-go shortcuts that are really helpful. And Toby says he uses Phrase Expander as a mental health clinician to complete session notes. And then Kimberly says, yeah, Text Expander is awesome for CSS code snippets. And yeah, this is a great example of what we're talking about. Toby also says he uses as an IT professional as well for like scripts and stuff like that. Like if you're doing note templates and scripts and CSS and stuff like that, that's a good sign that you want a more full-featured solution, like Text Expander, Phrase Express, that sort of thing. But if all you're expanding is like addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, like maybe the beginnings of emails or something like that, you can probably get away with the built-in alternatives.
All right, Brooks, let's move on to the third topic here. And this is actually something that you brought up. So I'm going to allow you to introduce it here.
Sometimes I bring up topics just because I want to hear what Tan has to say about it. And I never ask him these things internally. I always save it for the podcast. So this is another example of that. Topic number three is, do you think you can learn productively from TikTok? And I bring this up because I've long famously, I'm sure I've even said it on the podcast before, felt that TikTok is a productivity disaster. And the reason why is because I have teenagers. They and all their friends, like, you know, use TikTok a ton. And so, of course, as a parent, you know, you want to check this stuff out. And what I found is that the algorithm is so powerful, and the like short burst information means you just waste, without even meaning to, you just waste so much time, like swiping up over and over again. And I guess the algorithm learned that I liked travel stuff and local adventure stuff. So that's what it was feeding me. So I'd always like find these waterfalls to take the family to. And we found out some great little trips that way. But then I realized, no, like I decided back in the day, it wasn't really worth it. And so I do still have TikTok on my phone, but it's like nowhere near, it's like banished to the app library. I never even see it. All notifications are off, obviously. So I was like pretty determined that TikTok is like no good, other than waterfalls, which was helpful. But the other day I heard about a TikTok account called Miss Excel, and we'll link to it in the show notes. And basically she does Excel, like Excel spreadsheet tips in TikTok form, and it sounded pretty weird to me. So I checked it out. And so, yeah, she somehow manages to do these like really great Excel tips in whatever X second bursts. And now she's sponsored by Microsoft and has, of course, like started selling Excel courses and stuff like that. And I'm pretty good at Excel. Anytime there's any sort of spreadsheet thing, Tan always throws it my way. I've been using Excel since it came on floppy disks, a big box of floppy disks. And even in her, like the few videos of hers that I watched, I actually learned some Excel tips just from that. And I started thinking about it because my kids are always telling me that they learn something. And I say, oh, where'd you learn that from? And they, of course, always say TikTok. So it made me think, like, could it be an actually good learning tool, or is it not worth the potential for the time, energy, and attention disruption? So I'm very curious what you think, Tan. Are you a secret TikToker? Are you there swiping up? Are you like following all fashion influencer TikTokers, or what's your thoughts on this?
When you and I were working on the show notes together, I was like, I can't believe we're talking about this, but I guess we are. So I'm going to clarify my stance again internally, but also on the podcast. And I'm staying away, far, far away from TikTok, like the plague, because I know a lot of these apps are designed to make you addicted and to make you feel like FOMO. And so if the goal is learning, like if you want to learn about Excel, for example, there's different strategies of learning, right? We can take a course, we can take a workshop, we can one-on-one coaching, we can watch TikTok videos. Like there's a lot of strategies to the same outcome. If we want to become a ninja Excel user, as an example, and that's the goal, I think there's a lot of ways to get there. And it seems like TikTok is one of those. However, I just find it so distracting. And also knowing that these apps are designed to make you addicted and to make you feel like dopamine hits and stuff like that, it just makes me go even further away and say, hey, you know, it's fun. I'm sure there's a great discovery of all the things. However, I think the upside of it is relatively low compared to the huge downside. So I think there's a lot of different ways to get to the same destination. This is just not one of the roads that I personally want to go on.
So as I predicted, the live stream is chiming in. So Kimberly says, one of my clients rocks TikTok, but I stay completely clear, LOL. And then Art says, well, I could use this. Doesn't mean that you will, or even that it's the best thing you could be using. I'm not going to disagree with you. Like I said, for mainly parenting reasons, I keep TikTok around just so I know what's going on, but I never go on it. The one thing I will say, though, is I think it is good to know where education is potentially going. And even if you don't use it yourself, I think if there's people sharing a lot of good information, on a platform, it's good at least to know that it's there. But I agree, the potential for disruption is probably too much. I think the only way you could maybe do it well is I actually had a proud parenting moment just this weekend where my oldest son, who's about to turn 17, he asked me for the screen time password, which I'm obviously not going to give him. But I said I would type it in for him, and I asked him why he wanted it, because he wanted to set screen time limits for TikTok and, you know, other distracting apps so that he could get more focus, especially since he's going into grade 12 next year. And I thought that was really good that he recognized it was a problem and he wanted to use the tools available to limit his time using it. And I think if you are going to go down this road of like, because I know people like Ryan Holiday and stuff like that, they're all starting to make TikTok sharing information. If you are going to go down the road of following educational TikTokers, which there are a lot of science, math, productivity, all that sort of stuff, I think the only way you could possibly do it is like setting really low screen time limits or whatever the Google equivalent is on your device, and keep that like 15 minutes a day or something like that to save yourself. I think that's the only way you could possibly do it. But it's good to know it's there, even if we all agree that it's dangerous.
That to me is like, oh, let's use some crazy drugs, but hey, let's keep it to a very small limit because, you know, if we do too much of it, it might be too bad. So let's keep it to a really small dose. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Good way to put it.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know it's been fun for us at least, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. So let us know, like, how did you like this new format? Did you like the industry news? Did you like the topics we went over? Do you want to see more episodes like this? Let us know. You can tweet us at Asian Efficiency or send us an email at support@asianefficiency.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and feedback on this. And as always, we like to end episodes with an action item. So there's something that you can take away from today's content. And the first thing I would recommend that you do today is start using keyboard shortcuts. So if you aren't using Text Expander app already, maybe you can start with text expansion in general. So maybe on the phone or on your operating system on your computer or desktop or your iPad or tablet. See if you can use some sort of text expansion where you type in a keystroke of some sorts and then maybe expands into an email address or an address or something you type very frequently. And I think when you do that and get started with that, you'll see that you'll start to save a lot of time. So go check that out. Again, next week's episode is about how to double the productivity of your team. And I think you're going to be loving this episode because we're going to be sharing a lot of things we've learned over the last decade or so of managing a team. And as always, everything that we mentioned today will be in the show notes. Just go to theproductivityshow.com/394. And thanks again for joining us. And we'll see you next Productive Monday.